Every time he sung that this morning, I just had chills. And it's not from the cold. I want to thank Guy for singing this morning. Guy is ordinarily a member of our choir. He's on leave right now. He is the director for our choir in our ministry in the prisons. And his accompanist this morning is Mary Ann Hamer. There are not two M's in her name, as is in the bulletin. Mary Ann accompanies the choir out in the prison. And we appreciate her and her husband coming to be with us today. You'll notice this morning that our opening hymn was about heaven for all the saints who from their labors rest. Our closing hymn is going to be about heaven too. Oh, that will be glory for me. Our middle hymn was about, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. That's about being God's evangelist. And that's the theme of our service, heaven and being an evangelist. Maybe you heard about the little boy who was being rather obnoxious. His mother said to him, said, Johnny, he said, how do you ever expect to get to heaven if you're so bad? Well, he said, when I get there, I'll just run in and out and in and out, slamming the door, and finally somebody will say, for heaven's sake, either stay in or out, and I'll stay in. Well, how do you plan to get to heaven? Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read the first three verses. We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only sure way to know what to believe and how to live. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we are dependent upon God's Word. Listen, hear what God says to us in this portion of His Holy Scripture. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Paul had those who were jealous, I suppose, of him, who followed him about, who created trouble, especially at the church there in Corinth. So Paul is writing to them. He says, you know, do we need letters of recommendation to you? Verse 2, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on your hearts to be known and read by all men. Did you know you were a letter to be read and known by all men? And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Our sermon this morning is entitled, Are God's Letters Junk Mail? Our text, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, as we think about what it means to be a letter from You, a letter to be read by all men, help us to understand what our duty is and what the consequences are. Open our hearts and minds and bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. When you love somebody, and when you are away from that somebody, you write them letters. And some of you men who were in World War II and went overseas, do you remember writing home? And you ladies who had loved ones, do you remember that? When you were in love, when you fell in love, and maybe you were separated, remember the letters you wrote? Back in the spring of 1974, I was an extremely good writer of letters. That spring, I had gone to Switzerland for an important meeting. It was a conference on world evangelization. But I couldn't keep my mind on that very important conference too well. You see, I was in love. And I spent my time in Switzerland writing letters every day or going to the mailbox looking for a letter, in spite of the fact that we had a very busy schedule. I very much wanted to communicate with a person I cared about. And I suspect that's been true at one time or another in the lives of all of you. Isn't it a fact that if we truly care about someone, we will want to communicate with them? For example, recently our 16-year-old, who has the same name as the little girl we baptized, was in Germany on a student exchange program. And because I love her and care about her, I wrote her frequently. We want to communicate with people we care about. Well, let me tell you some exciting news. God is a lover. He loves us so much, He wants to communicate with us. What is one of the first verses of the Bible you ever learned? Probably when you're about 3 or 4 in the nursery of the church school, you learned this verse, God is love. How many of you learned that first, huh? Lots of you. And then I suspect the second verse you learned that you remember is, God helps those who help themselves. Except that's not in the Bible. No, the next verse you learned was, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Is that not true for you? Yes, God's a lover. So much so that He sent Jesus into the world to die for your sins and mine. Jesus is a letter that God sent that says, I love you. I care about you. You are important to me. After all, that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. So people who love send letters. And above all, God is a lover and a letter sender. Now, the first point I want to make this morning is this. God, the lover, God, the letter sender, sends letters to the world He loves. And one of the letters He sends is you. Isn't that what our scripture for this morning says? It says, you are a letter from Christ. Now, the second point I want to make this morning is a question, and this is the question, if you are a letter from God to the world, what kind of a letter are you? Our scripture this morning says that we are a letter, quote, to be known and read by all men, unquote. And if the world hears from God through you and me, if our lives, our actions, our conduct, our words are His message to the world, are our lives saying what God wants said, or are we just junk mail? Do you get much junk mail? I do. I think I must be on every junk mail mailing address in America. Yesterday, our mail, we had about that thick a stack of mail, and all of it was junk mail. I get so much at the church, I stand there at my mailbox and I just pitch it in the circular file. But if you and I are God's message to the world, and if we are mostly junk mail, the world isn't paying any attention to us. And the world is filing us in the circular file, the wastebasket. Well, are you a first-class letter from God, or are you just junk mail? Do you want to be a first-class letter? Do you want your life to be a message from God to the world that says, here's what God can do with a poor lost sinner? Do you want to be a letter that says, here is what God can do to clean up a bad life? Do you want to be a letter that says, here's what God can do to bring joy out of sadness, light out of darkness, hope out of despair, faith out of unbelief, goodness out of evil? Would you like for your life to be a letter like that? Let me give you some clues, a couple of clues, to how God can put a first-class stamp on your life. Here's clue one. First, you must surrender your old heart of stone to God. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament about the Egyptian Pharaoh who wouldn't let the children of Israel go? The Bible says it was because his heart was hardened towards God. The Bible also tells us that sometimes even the disciples themselves didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And do you know why? Well, the Bible tells us in St. Mark, it says, but their hearts were hardened. And in the very chapter from which we read today, a little further on in verse 14, Paul tells us that the reason the Jews didn't believe in Jesus was because, quote, their minds were hardened. Unquote. Hardening the heart is easy to do. Very risky business, but easy to do. Back in Deuteronomy, God tells His people to care for the poor. He warns them not to harden their hearts. Is your heart hard? Hebrews warns us today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Are you the kind of letter God wants you to be? In my own life, I know that I am so often just junk mail. Do you know why? It's because my heart is hard. I don't want to live my life God's way. I want to live my way. I don't want to surrender control of my life to Jesus. And my heart gets hard towards God. Do you ever have that problem? In the second chapter of Acts, we're told how on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached about Jesus to the Jews. Do you remember that tremendous scene? The Holy Spirit falls on the disciples in flames as though it were fire. There's a sound of a loud rushing wind, and a crowd gathers, and Peter begins to preach. And a few verses later, the Bible tells us how they responded. It says, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I have never preached when I had 3,000 respond, let alone join the church. But do you know why they responded? Do you know what happened to them that made them respond? Well, the Scripture says, now when they heard this, that is about Jesus, when they heard about Jesus, they were cut to the heart. You see, they gave God their stony heart. Well, that's the first clue to being a first-class letter from God instead of just junk mail. We have to give our stony hearts to God. Over in Ezekiel, God speaks, and this is what He says, I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in My statutes and keep My ordinances and obey them. Well, have you done that? Have you let God soften your heart? Now, here's the second clue to being a first-class letter from God. First of all, you've got to have a soft heart. And the reason is it's hard to write on a stony heart. Who is writing commands on your heart this morning? Is it you? Are your lusts, your desires, your needs, your wants, your dreams, your ambitions, your hopes, are these the things writing the commands that control your heart this morning? Our Scripture says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Yes, who's writing on your heart? How much does God's Spirit control your life? I read an illustration recently that compared life to an automobile. The problem is, said the writer, most of us have God as a spare tire in the trunk when He wants to be the steering wheel that controls the direction of our lives. I have that problem. Do you? I want to control my own life. I want to control my own destiny. I want to have charge of the steering wheel. And I keep God locked up in the trunk to pull out for emergencies or when life has a flat tire. Do you do that? Do you have a spare tire God? I want to tell you, that's not only poor theology, that borders on heresy. God is not a spare tire to get us out of trouble when life goes flat. Let me tell you a secret. When the Holy Spirit isn't controlling our lives, the ways of God, the life God wants us to live, seems hard. When the Holy Spirit isn't in command, the things of God are difficult and impossible. I look at the law of God, and it tells me some hard things to do. It says, love your enemies. It says, turn the other cheek. It says, forgive 7 times 70. It says that I should love my enemies. I should be merciful. I should be pure in heart. And a lot of other things I can't keep. It tells me to be loving and kind and forgiving. It tells me to be generous. And that's just impossible to do. I can't do that. Is that your experience? When we try on our own to do the things of God, we find we just can't do it. But the Bible says that when we open our hearts to God's Spirit, when we let Him soften our heart, the Holy Spirit writes God's laws on our hearts. Now let me tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. Suddenly we're doing things God's way. We're obeying God's law. We're being obedient to God's will. Not because the Bible says we are to do it. Not because our mind says we ought to do it. But because our heart says we want to do it. Are you trying to be God's letter? Are you trying to do things the way you know God wants you to do them? And discovering that instead you're just junk mail. A lot of us in that same mailbox, let me tell you. But when God's will and God's way and God's law is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we're living the way God wants us to live because we want to live that way too. So two clues to being a first-class letter from God to the world is first to give God your heart. Give it to Him. Say, Lord, here it is. Unclean, dirty, filthy, hard as a rock. I give it to you. And He will soften it. He will take away its hardness. He'll take away its resistance to Him. And secondly, surrender your new heart to the Holy Spirit. God, fill me now with your Holy Spirit. And He will write God's law on your heart. And you will do God's will. You will do God's thing. Not because the Bible says to or because your mind says you ought to, but because your heart says, oh, I want to. Now, let me conclude with two quick thoughts. Here's the first thought. Down at the post office, they have something called the dead letter office. And that's the place they send letters that can't be delivered. Let me ask you, as a Christian, are you a dead letter? Are you a message from God that's undeliverable? You know, we've been hearing a lot lately about the slowness of the mail. But do you realize the problem God's got with you and me? We're so slow to deliver ourselves to the world, and so often we end up in the dead letter office. Just this past week, I sent out over 250 letters to members of our congregation who apparently are dead letters. They don't come. They don't participate. They don't contribute. And as far as I know, they don't witness. They're spiritual dead letters. The second quick thought I want to give you is this. You are a letter from God addressed to the world. But let me ask you a question. What do you put on an envelope, on a letter, besides the stamp up in the upper right-hand corner, and besides the address, what else do you put on such a letter? Well, don't you put a return address on it? Now, let me tell you something exciting, friends. If you're not junk mail, If you are truly a first-class letter from God, it means you've given your stony heart to Jesus to let Him soften it. It means you're letting the Holy Spirit write the things of God on your heart so that you're not doing them from compulsion but out of joy and because you want to. But above all, it means this. God has put His return address on you. Is that exciting or not? If junk mail can't be delivered and if dead letters aren't deliverable, what about first-class mail? First-class mail is always returned to the sender. Are you first-class mail with God's return address on you? If so, it means you're going to return to God. He's got His return address on you. You're going to heaven when you die. You have eternal life and you're going to return to Him. You remember what St. Paul said? He said, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let me ask you a question. What return address is on you this morning? Are you going to end up in some eternal dead letter office? Are you some junk mail that's unreturnable? Or is God's return address on you? You see, one way or another, all of us are mail from God. And the only question is this, what kind of mail are you? Just junk mail? Or are you a first-class letter with God's return address on you? Let us pray. God,